flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
A.J. Brown, a former wide receiver under Mike Vrabel, still the current wide receiver in the Super Bowl, but played for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. We'll get into Vrabel and his track record at the wide receiver position coming up in just a moment. Real quick, A.J. Brown's name didn't come up, or name didn't come up, in the segment where we debated who has the most to gain and lose. You think he stands to gain or lose much in the Super Bowl?
As much as I love the receiver position, I think it's still so much just quarterback, coach, and then we highlight Saquon just because it's like a next level type of season. Like if A.J. Brown wins, great. You know, he goes down as another big time wide receiver to have a Super Bowl win. But I don't hold it against those guys as much. Like, you know me, I love Moss and T.O. as much as anybody in the world. And like neither one of those guys won a Super Bowl.
No, that's true. And those guys are, I would say, the second and third best receivers of all time after Jerry Rice, who won plenty.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I wonder is I think there's still a chance A.J. Brown could be out of Philadelphia. Like
But the way receivers are,
yeah,
couldn't he be out whether they win or lose? Like Tyreek Hill was gone out of Kansas City. They weren't hey, we got to keep him together.
But that was after they lost, wasn't it?
But they had already won twice.
No, Hill won one, I think. I thought they moved Hill after they lost to the Bucks. Was last year? No, you're right. Maybe
Hill won twice.
No, you're right. Did they move him after they won? Maybe you are
right about that.
I thought they moved him after the Bucks Super Bowl.
Receivers are kind of wild. Oh, no, he's a one-time Super Bowl winner. You're right. I'm a little surprised. So he was on the 2019 team that won and then played 2 more years and then was gone.
Okay.
So was it when they lost to Brady?
He
was on the team that lost to Brady.
That was...
He left Kansas City after 2021. That was when they lost to Burrow.
So they lost to Brady and then they lost again. So they had lost 2 years in a row. So maybe one off isn't enough, but this would be 2 lost Super Bowls with A.J. Brown. And it's not even about losing the games.
Yeah.
It's about he's on the sideline reading the book.
Yeah.
He seems mostly checked out, although last week he was very good in that game. But the first 2 playoff games, he didn't do much. If he has another light participation, stomping around, moody on the sidelines, checked out reading his book, I just wonder if that doesn't sit well with the organization, the fan base, and there's a chance he still moves, which maybe could be something to gain for Patriots fans potentially.
And also, like, depending on what he does in the game, if it's not a ton, do they say, look, we got Saquon, we got Hurts, we got Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert's turned into a pretty good weapon.
We don't need him.
Maybe we don't need him. And if we get the Patriots second round pick hypothetically for him, that's a high pick. That's a decent exchange rate, and maybe you just kind of go from there.
So Mike Vrabel is not entirely to blame, certainly, for the receiver struggles in Tennessee. We can debate how much personnel control he had, how much input he had,
He and Ryden Cowden were both in Tennessee for this stretch of wide receivers. You tell me what you think of this group. A.J. Brown was a second-round pick, 51st overall, in a very, very, very good wide receiver class. The Titans hit on A.J. Brown. They decided to trade A.J. Brown. Eventually, that was John Robinson. Vrabel wanted to keep him. So give Vrabel credit for that. The rest of the receivers drafted in Tennessee, very underwhelming. Corey Davis, 5th overall, first-round pick.
Yeah, that was under Mike Mularkey, though. Corey Davis was 2017, so he had Corey Davis.
So was that Robinson? He inherited
So
let him off the hook for that if you will.
Yeah.
Treylon Burks, first rounder, 18th overall. Taywan Taylor, third rounder. Then you get into day three guys like Des Fitzpatrick in the 4th round. Tajay Sharpe out of UMass, 5th rounder. Kyle Phillips, 5th rounder. Racy McMath.
Not a person.
Household name.
Yeah.
And Colton Dowell, 7th rounder, 228th overall. So they took about a swing a year while Vrabel was there. The only hit was A.J. Brown. Number one, do you care about it? Or do you just say Vrabel wasn't in charge of personnel? What do I care? And number two, does that inform you in any way how the Patriots should go about rebuilding the receiver room through the draft compared to getting a veteran like an A.J. Brown or someone
like
that?
See, I think that those names are put on John Robinson. And I think it makes John Robinson look like a Belichick disciple, like having a hard time identifying wide receivers because you want to give him credit for A.J. Brown, but then he's also the same guy that then decided to trade A.J. Brown, much to the chagrin of Mike Vrabel, and try to replace him. And then Treylon Burks has been maybe worse than all those other guys that you named, especially based on how high he was drafted. So, no, I look at it as Vrabel probably really, really wanted as much player control as he could have in his next job, because he didn't have it in this job, and he saw all the different ways that they made mistakes. I mean, it's highlighted by A.J. Brown, but some of those other names for sure are like big issues. And, you know, that combined with having Derrick Henry led to an offense that wasn't going to zip it around a lot. They didn't have great receivers. The year that they did, though, the 3 years that they did were the best years that he had. So even though he's a defensive guy, it seems like the team maximized having a real wide receiver, and when they didn't, they fell apart.
Here I think is my stance on the Patriots now, and maybe you felt this way independent of Vrabel's track record in Tennessee. I think my stance is don't draft a receiver. It's Elliott Wolf, it's Ryan Cowden, it's Mike Vrabel. They at least, to their credit, have an A.J. Brown on their
well, not Elliott Wolf.
They're big
the
board.
Other two.
No, I'm saying Cowden and Vrabel at least have an A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Unlike Wolf, unlike Belichick. So, I mean, you can give Bill if you want to go way back to Deion Branch and David Givens. Edelman is questionable how much credit you want to give him for that later pick, but it still counts. Still a long time ago for Belichick. At least they have A.J. Brown on their hit chart recently. But between Wolf and these two in Tennessee, I think I'd rather they just punt on wide receiver. I'm not even talking at 4.
Yeah.
I'm talking 2nd round, 3rd round. If you want to go day 3, take a flyer, try to find a Pop Douglas or somebody like that on day 3, go ahead. I'll let you do that. I think the first 2 days, I don't want them drafting a wide receiver, or at least I would prefer they go the trade or even free agent route with T. Higgins over drafting a guy in the first, 3 rounds. I think that's probably already where I was. And knowing how it went in Tennessee, I'm probably even more in that group now.
So I guess I don't hold any of the wide receiver stuff against Mike Vrabel. I don't know how much say he really had, because the one thing that we know for sure that he got into like argument over with John Robinson was getting rid of Brown. So as far as the draft process, I don't know how much say he had when it came to, let's take Treylon Burks. So they move on from Brown. That began the rift between Vrabel and the front office. Mm-hmm. And then at 16, they take Treylon Burks. That ended a run in the first round of wideouts, and then in the second round it included, like, that was the Tyquan Thornton draft, so I guess you could have taken like a George Pickens. But I only bring that up to say, did Vrabel have a guy in mind? Did he get outvoted? Was his guy Treylon Burks? That's all an unknown.
If you want to let Vrabel off the hook, I guess that's fine, although if he's not going to be calling the shots in Tennessee, why are we sure he's calling the shots here?
I think he made sure to put it in there.
But Wolf is still here, and his personnel guy is Cowden. And Cowden was there, and imagine he's part of the decision-making. Now, maybe he disagreed with Robinson, too.
Well, that's one of those things where, like, Nick Caserio worked with Bill.
Yeah.
And if Bill wanted a guy, they were taking the guy Bill wanted, even though Caserio might have wanted the opposite. You know, and now we see him running a team, and it seems to be going better. It seems to be going well.
They seem to be drafting better for sure.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I think I'd rather they go, again, T. Higgins.
Oh, see, I did either way. I think that's the way to go because they have so many needs.
You've been there for a while. Yeah. I think I was more on the fence about it.
Okay.
I don't think I like a receiver at four. Travis Hunter, to me, is not a receiver. He is a... I don't even know how to categorize
him. Athlete.
I think he's a corner first, though. Like, I'm drafting Travis Hunter.
He's a two-way player. He's like generational player. Like, whatever it was. That was it, the Titans GM was saying that?
Correct.
Like, he is that.
So, if Hunter's there at four, I still want, because even if he strikes out as a receiver, he can be a really high-end corner. Him I still want.
Mm-hmm.
But McMillan, and even guys that I like, Luther Burden, guys that I like, I think I'm still kind of out on the Patriots doing that. They should trade for a receiver. Over even signing T. Higgins, who I'd be okay with, and I'd be excited about, and I'd credit them for spending money.
Yeah.
But I think you can even do better than T. Higgins if you're trading for guys like DK Metcalf, who apparently hates Massachusetts.
Yeah, well,
or some of the A.J. Brown, some of the other names we brought up, how realistic they are, we can debate. But I think that's the route for this team to go.
And nobody likes this current wide receiver room. So I don't know how many guys they're going to get rid of. But let's say you... hypothetically drafted one, right, in the first round. So now that player would join a wide receiver room that has 2 second-year players, 2 third-year players. It it's all young guys, so yeah. I don't think I'd want to combine.
Right, you need...
If you're going to get something out of Polk, which I don't think you will,
but if
you would, or Kayshon Booty, wouldn't it help to have, the veteran guy in there? I think a good veteran. Like, Kendrick Bourne's solid, whatever, but, somebody better than that... that maybe they can learn from, rather than just toss another rookie into the mix. Now that rookie is going to learn from those guys. I don't think so.
Yeah, the point here is made on Twitter as well about the struggles in Tennessee with developing those receivers. It's probably on the quarterbacks in some ways too, Mariota and Tannehill. Fine. Are we sure Drake May is the kind of guy to bring along young receivers? I don't know. I didn't see much of that.
Flashes with Booty. I would say this
Booty
year
had a career year.
Yeah.
Douglas finally scored multiple touchdowns.
But what were those guys?
I mean...
They were better than they had been, but what were they?
But those guys are guys that could be on the field for a good team, like a third, fourth receiver, I think.
I like Drake May better than Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota.
Well, yeah.
But I just... We're sure he's that guy now. So you talk about the young receivers in the room, Keith, and how they might need a veteran. May also probably needs a veteran.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a tangible benefit on both counts, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it is too, and that's why we're going to have to see who that receiver is that moves. It happens every year, and sometimes it comes out of nowhere. You're like, well, they're not going to trade X.
Could be Tyreek Hill again.
It could legit be.
We didn't see Tyreek Hill last time. This time I think we can see it coming more.
And I know this is more just us kind of wishing it into existence, but A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill are both guys that experienced this already once before. It's sort of the nature of the position. They can get moved again. You know, Steph Diggs was the guy that went from team to team, and there is an immediate impact and immediate dividends. You don't know how long you're going to have those guys, and that's fine, but you're just trying to sort of unlock Drake May the way Steph Diggs did for Josh Allen, and then Diggs leaves and Allen's still great, right? He doesn't really need him as much, but right now he needs a guy like that.
Yeah, I still think too, going back to our Saquon Barkley discussion, yeah, you're talking about what Vrabel wants and how it works. You don't need Derrick Henry, but you probably need to upgrade Ramondre, I think.
Or have him hold on to the ball.
Do you expect him to be back?
Yeah.
Ramondre.
I think so. They just signed him. I mean,
what could you get if you trade him?
Fourth round pick,
exactly.
Maybe?
So that's probably not even worth moving him, but he's probably on the team. But is he on the team in his same role, in a primary role? My answer would be, I hope not.
No. Well, I mean, it's funny because there's been all different years. If you look back to Josh McDaniels' offenses, there's been all over the map examples of you had a 1,200-yard rusher. You had nobody rush for 1,000 yards.
That's true.
You had guys that were, catching a lot of passes out of the backfield and everything in between. But so I bet he's one of the guys they use. But I think if they decide to feature him, that's when you're going to run into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
It's kind of difficult to run when you get hit in the backfield.
It's true. The O-line was not great.
And McDaniels... correct me if I'm wrong. McDaniels' last year here was Ramondre's first, right? That Mac rookie year, I think, was Ramondre's. They were the same
21.
Draft class, right? And Ramondre was good that year. He wasn't great. He had a better year the following year.
Yep.
He had a meltdown against Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
At a game in Vegas. But yeah, there is a connection there, and so maybe McDaniels would stump for him. I hope they aim higher at that spot personally.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of texts here: 617-779-7937. Because we briefly touched on this, do you guys think Jalen Polk will have a better sophomore year?
No.
Me neither.
No, he's really like the one guy.
Think there's any chance he's not on the team next year?
There's a chance, yeah.
Like, I think there is a chance they just move on.
Yeah,
and that would really let you know Elliot Wolf has no say.
Correct.
That would be definitive.
Correct. Because, like, they held on to Tyquan Thornton for a while, and, like, to what end? What was the point?
Right.
And so I think it'll depend on how many receivers they can bring in here. Like, I don't think they're going to not bring in somebody really good because, like, oh, well, our roster's full. It's like they'll keep them until there's like no room for them, would be my guess.
That's also what I think.
Yeah.
And so.
But like other guys, but there's a chance he's
on the way out the door. No,
Polk. But if like Polk and. No, not Polk. If like Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty have better years, I wouldn't be shocked.
Here's where I'd feel good about the receiver room. Polk and Booty. I'm sorry, Polk.
Pop.
Pop, thank you. And Booty are on the team, but they're not really on the field. I feel a lot better if that's your fourth and fifth receiver.
Yeah, but that means you got four new guys. I don't think that's happening.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
No, me neither.
They made a trade. They signed a secondary free agent. They take a if you're taking a guy in the fourth round, those guys are probably ahead.
Yeah,
I'd feel much better about that room.
Javon Baker, big breakout year for him.
That's another guy who might not be on the team next year if I had to guess.
Yep.
Some love for Scataboo in the second round as well. I like him. He skipped out on the Senior Bowl, I think.
Maybe you got a promise by somebody.
Maybe it was the Patriots.
Okay, we're going to take you.
Hadn't considered that.
Guy's a game wrecker.
Keith is on the Cape. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, so I was just listening for receivers. What about Ayuk or Deebo from San Francisco for a possible trade target? And then looking also into running backs about moving down in the draft and getting a later first round and looking at either Ashton Jetty from Boise State or just like someone just said,
so Genty, I forget Scataboo in the first round. Genty, if you're trading back into the first round, say into the 20s, can you get him there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, these, the stocks go up and down with a lot of players as we get closer and closer to the draft. But right now, I don't think so. I think the combination of the Jahmyr Gibbs pick hitting, the season Saquon Barkley has had.
And Bijan Robinson. He was taken top eight, whatever he was.
Eight, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I think all of that and just the way some of these teams have used running backs and just the overall state of this draft, I think he's going in the teens.
I'm going to tell you right now, if they trade down from four, I think I'm more open to them drafting Genty than Tet McMillan or some of these other receivers. Like, I don't hate that plan. I know a lot of people don't like drafting running backs highly in the first round, even in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. You're not taking him at four.
Like a Sonny Michel, Lawrence Maroney type.
I liked both, if we're being honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you traded down to 8, 9, 10, I would be a fan of that idea. His first question, Ayuk's not going anywhere. He's coming off an injury. He just got paid. Deebo, I'm not sure what he has left in the tank. There was an answer Vrabel gave at his introductory press conference, and I've been a longtime Deebo fan. Same draft as A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, all those guys. But he plays such a physical style, I don't know how that's going to hold up. He's like a running back.
Remember he was trying to get paid?
Look at his age like a wide receiver. Look at his age like a running back.
Yeah, he takes a lot of hits.
But Vrabel said at his introductory press conference, we want guys who are tough to tackle. And I
that
heard
whole
that
Niners team is.
The first name I thought of was Deebo when he said that. So I wouldn't rule that out. I bet you can get him at a depressed cost. I like him.
It would cost the Niners $41 million to move on from him.
To trade him?
He has a dead cap hit of $41 million.
Oh, that's for the Niners.
You never know. Yeah, they can figure that out. I mean, maybe it would happen. But.
So that to me is a player I would like, but I also wouldn't be surprised if you traded for him and you're like, this guy's a husk of his former self.
Yeah.
Steve is on Nantucket. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I got an easy way to fix three, the quarterback, the receivers, and the running back. Cheap money. It's called offensive line.
Are those cheap typically, Keith?
I also don't think that helps the receivers.
Ronnie Stanley, is he going to be? Well, in some ways, it gives the quarterback more time.
These receivers, you can get them all day long. They're either going to not catch it, they're going to run the wrong route, they're going to catch it, hand it to the defense.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll give them quarterback, running back, 100% I agree.
Receivers in a vacuum,
yeah.
Not these receivers.
Also, I'm curious how cheap that option's going to be.
That's what I'm saying.
How on earth is that a cheap thing?
Ronnie Stanley, Trey Smith tried to do it cheap this year, is the point. Right. Chukwuma Okorafor is cheap.
Chukwuma Okorafor, that's a cheap option. How'd that go?
Devontae Jacobs.
Cheap option.
Cheap.
You're going to have to spend through the nose for
Trey
some of those
Smith,
guys.
Ronnie Stanley, even if you want Will Campbell in the draft. I guess he's financially cheap, but he's significant in terms of draft capital. I don't know that there's a cheap way to fix your offensive line.
That's why I like the
top five pick cheap.
Well, cheap compared to in the free agent market. But yeah. It'd be high
it's
on the rookie scale. Yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, overall, like, that's what you're using. But yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm less open to the idea of Ashton Jeanty, only because the offensive line is so bad and you have no real receiver to speak of. So, like, I'd got to clean that up first.
617-779-7937. Mike Vrabel, how he wants to run offense, his track record in Tennessee. How does that inform you in any way, if at all, about how the Patriots should build this team this offseason, along with what we're watching in the Super Bowl? I mean, you look at how the Eagles have constructed their team. That is the blueprint I'd like to follow, even more so than what Kansas City's doing. You can fall ass backwards into a quarterback, maybe they have, with Drake May, or you can build things around that quarterback now that you have Drake May. I think there are lessons there to be learned as well. We'll get to WEEI Afternoons at 2 o'clock, see what they have coming up here on WEEI's Picture Day. They should all be in the building, right?
I would think so.
Day is now, apparently.
Yeah, I think they're getting photographed
Stiz,
now.
No hat. Couldn't believe it.
No hat Stiz? I might not recognize him.
I don't think I've ever witnessed that.
Yeah.
No hat turp. I've seen. I don't think I've ever seen no hat Stiz.
Jarring, would be my guess.
Probably. So it's WEEI Picture Day. We'll see what they have coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll also get you our clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win with the
Grab Bag. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Celtics got the 122-100 victory over the Chicago Bulls at the TD Garden last night. Kristaps Porzingis led all scorers with 34 points along with 11 rebounds. Up next, the Seas will begin a three-game road trip in New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. According to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal, federal prosecutors have been investigating whether NBA player Terry Rozier manipulated his performance as part of an illegal sports betting scheme. The inquiry is part of a wider government investigation that has already ensnared Jonte Porter. And tonight, the Bruins begin a three-game homestand when the Bees host the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets are currently on a four-game winning streak. Jonas Korpisalo will get the start in net, and Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo will both return to the lineup. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Wow. What a grab bag we have in store for you today here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. This is as jam-packed as the grab bag has maybe ever been.
Really?
There's a lot of stuff to get to.
Okay.
Let's start with this. The Utah Hockey Club is not necessarily locked in as Utah Hockey Club. It was sort of like a Washington football team placeholder for this season. So that's what they're known as now. But they're going to hold a vote and they're going to change the name. Now, leader in the clubhouse because they had a name. Or they had like a finalist that kind of whittled all the way down.
Yeah, they put it out to the fan base, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And one that they thought was going to be the answer, which would have been an incredible team name and logo and possibility.
Yeah,
mascot.
You like this name maybe more than anybody I've met.
The Utah Yeti. Amazing. Like, move over, Seattle Kraken. We have a new sheriff in town. Utah Yeti. However, they couldn't figure out all the copyrights because of the Yeti Cooler Company. And they're like, oh, they're like, that's their thing. And like, this is going to be confusing to people.
It's not confusing at all.
One makes coolers. One's a hockey team. I kind of get it.
Well, also, do people think the hockey team would be named after the coolers? Great.
No.
Coolers. Phenomenal product.
Great.
Is that what people think?
I don't know.
I would think people think of the snow monster.
Right. Sometimes
people
yeah.
are dumb, but a Yeti, it's like a freaking, it's a Sasquatch. It's like a, it's one of these cryptids, which I love.
If Yeti, the company, were smart, they would maybe even glom onto it and say,
yes.
let's sell.
Team up.
Yeah, we'll have, a Yeti mug night giveaway or something
yes.
like that at the Utah Yeti
game. I got
Yeti
one
game.
Of those. I yeah. got one of them for the cans.
Give away a
keeps
bunch of cool.
ice cold.
Like, that would be a good, I think it'd be a good marketing opportunity for
those teams have logos on like their helmets now for sponsorships.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Double
the
up there.
Put it on the sweater.
Pop it on the sweater. Pop it on the bucket. Good point.
What was
center
the,
ice.
Sorry, yeah, not helmets. Buckets.
Yeah, buckets.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on,
yeah, Nick. Come on,
Nick. Watch one game, please.
Yeah, I mean, be a hockey fan for one time.
Funny part of the story, though, it was like they were choosing, they were considering the Utah Yeti or the Utah Yetis. And I was like, well, which one's the plural? And I think it would just be Yeti.
Oh,
if you're
is,
like, hey, look over there, there's three Yetis.
So is Yetis,
Yeti?
Is Yetis a workaround the copyright?
They tried that, also got...
Oh, that also got shut down.
Also got shut down. So there's three choices now.
Okay.
And over the next four home games, they're going to let the people in attendance vote on this.
So you got to...
You got to be at the game.
Okay. You need to be...
for four games.
Representative. You can't just punch it in on a computer. You got to be there.
It's down to three.
Okay.
Utah Hockey Club is one of the three.
Okay. I don't hate it.
Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Utah Wasatch.
What is that?
I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
I don't
know. W-A-S-A-T-C-H. Apparently it refers to a mountain range in Utah.
That's terrible.
But
yeah,
because it also kind of sounds like Sasquatch, I think they're going to use some of the Yeti like logos and stuff. So it's like
why
a worker.
Why not just the Utah Sasquatch?
Good question.
Sam's Quench.
Sam's Quench.
Why not just do that?
Don't make
the
Sasquatch
Wasatch
angry. I don't know. Yeah, so that's garbage. They're all trash.
The Mammoth? No, on
Mammoth?
Legitimately, out of those
hockey
three,
club probably
stick,
is the best
stick
one.
With Hockey Club.
That stinks. Like, what a pain. They almost had something great, and now they've ruined it.
Genuinely think it's a missed marketing opportunity yeah. by the company Yeti.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I would have to agree with you.
When I had to go, you know, grab bag, I went.
Bruins versus the Winnipeg Jets tonight. The
nice.
Winnipeg Jets, one of the best teams in all of hockey. And so we will see how the Bees do. They are getting a little bit more healthy. Some of their guys are going to be making their way back on the old blue line, Jones.
It went McAvoy's back tonight, right? Carlo's back tonight,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. It went very well for the Bruins the last time they faced Winnipeg.
That's good.
Was that 8-1? If
I think
I'm not
they
mistaken?
Gave up. That was one of the snowman games.
Snowman.
That
yeah,
was the snowman
yeah, yeah.
game.
It's no swimming tonight. So maybe they're afraid of another snowman.
Corpy could shut him down.
Corpy's in net.
Yep.
So
he
yeah.
could stop, drop, and open up shop.
I wouldn't anticipate that going overly well, but we'll see. We'll see.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying.
Grab bag.
I got some Bruins news for you, Jones. People are going to like this. Zdeno Chara is closing in on a deal to become a front office consultant with the Boston Bruins. A big Z.
So
what does that mean?
Good question. What does it mean? Sweeney is the one who announced it.
We should have our Bruins expert on to break it down for us.
Yeah. Make sure you're listening to WEEI Afternoons. Andrew the Razor Raycroft,
yeah.
no longer on middays here with Keith and myself.
No.
WEEI Afternoon, 4:30 today for all your
yep.
Bruins news
mm-hmm.
on a Bruins Thursday.
A big Z. Maybe he'll pick the next coach.
So Sweeney announced it. Do you think he could be a replacement long term for Neely, Sweeney, that group? Like, should they?
I don't know.
They be watching their
it's
backs?
A good question.
Or are they bringing him in to work with?
I think maybe right now to work with, because there was so much overlap with those guys. It's not like somebody that's like not connected to those two in any way. But I don't know. Like, does he want to be a GM? Like, I have no idea.
I mean, if you're going to be a consultant for the team, I'd imagine you have some design of doing that.
Yeah, maybe.
I guess I'm surprised that.
Although, like, what's Sean Thornton's role with Florida? It's not. It's like.
Yeah, he's like I thought he was in the front office, right?
Yeah,
he's not just like a skills coach.
No,
I think
no,
he's like
no,
an assistant
no.
assistant GM. If I'm talking
yeah.
off the top of my head,
he does a lot of different
like
stuff.
That.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Chara surprises me.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise. That doesn't. Obviously, it's something he wants to do. I would have seen that more for. You know, Bergeron or guys like that. I wouldn't have expected that out of Chara. But yeah, if you're...
And like now, too, like a month before the deadline, like...
Strange.
Know,
so
strange,
who knows? Maybe that's a bad sign for Sweeney, yep. who, if they miss the playoffs, could lose yep. his job.
Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the...
More Bruins news. Charlie McAvoy named an alternate captain for the Team USA in the Four Nations.
So I would question who's running Team USA. I would question if they're watching this year. I mean, he should be on the team. Even
well,
in a down year,
yeah.
he should be on
yeah.
the team. He's part of the lead. Have you seen the leadership here?
Yeah.
I would question who's leading Team USA if you're going to make Charlie McAvoy an alternate captain on that team.
Although Team USA...
He's an alternate captain on this team.
Team USA may be not known for their leadership. You remember the Nagano Olympics when they absolutely destroyed every bit of their hotel room.
This is true. That doesn't make me feel very good about Team USA.
No, so it's Austin Matthews is the captain, and then Matthew Tkachuk and McAvoy are the alternate captains.
Don't love it.
Yes, together we will make America...
Grab bag.
Again.
Not a moment too soon. A celebrity joined Twitter yesterday for the first time.
Oh.
No, not Bill Belichick. Somebody got in after the fact. Twitter's been around for a while.
Yeah. What was the first? 2008?
Yeah, something like that.
Nine?
Seven, eight, nine.
Even that old.
Yeah,
okay.
It might have been.
Oh, wow.
It was a long time
so good,
ago.
Better late than never, as they say.
Speaking of the Olympics, Tonya Harding.
Hey, everyone. I am Tonya Harding, and I am on X. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Happy New Year. Join me there, and let's chat it up. Love you. God bless. Bye.
She's on X?
She just said Happy New Year? Thank you, Nick. Happy New Year.
Maybe she recorded it 3 weeks ago.
Maybe. Happy New Year.
Yeah, she gets all hopped up on X and then does a video. Tonya Harding. You ever watch I, Tonya, the movie, though?
You know what? I don't see a ton of movies. That is one I saw.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
My wife likes figure skating, so we watch that film.
And I am on X.
She's like, easy.
Yeah.
That's not legal, is it?
Yeah, it's just at this point.
Yeah.
Not that I need to go there to be in my own safe space, but at this point, like, if you're just going to hop on something, why join? Wouldn't you get in at the ground floor on, like, Blue Sky? Why are you joining X at this point?
I'm not sure. Do you remember the song that she danced to in the Olympics?
No.
The Jurassic Park theme.
Huh.
She probably should have gotten more points for that.
Yeah.
Then she had a little issue where her shoes lace was untied or whatever, and she tried taking it up with the judge. And they're like, you got to just keep skating. You don't come over. Don't come over by me.
Yeah.
That was the one issue.
Yeah, that was the only issue.
That was really all the issue I could see with
her. That's the only one I remember.
A tough run-up to the Olympic Games. What was crazy to me is, not to relitigate Tonya Harding,
mm-hmm.
but it was like, the way she had her goons attack Nancy Kerrigan, it was like, oh, only one person makes the team. Like, no.
Yeah, you could
have both. They both could have made the team. They both did make the team.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Seemed unnecessary.
But she had a aiming higher than just being on
I
the team,
so,
Keith.
Yeah.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Grab bag.
Patrick Graham back as the defensive coordinator for the Raiders.
Feels like a poor get.
Yeah.
Grab bag.
DeMarcus Covington, former defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, is now with the Green Bay Packers as a defensive line coach.
Also, feels like a poor get.
Well, what are you going to do?
When it's around 1:30 and the cakes get hot, the Jones and Keefe grab bag's a really cool spot. There's no other place to hear the grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag on EEI.
So they're always talking about potentially changing the game, right? People in all sports, but in the NBA, a lot of thought about the three-point shot. The three-point shot's killing the game. People don't like the three-point shot. Well, a different potential change, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, was talking about. They might consider the idea of going from 12-minute quarters to 10-minute quarters. What would that do?
I don't I don't like it. I mean, ideally, it would help the pacing of the game a little bit. I'm sure it would still bog down at the end, but instead of a 2.5 hour game, maybe you get it closer to 2 hours, something like that. I don't know what a generic basketball game runs. I'd imagine it's over 2 hours. So I would think that's what they're trying to fix. That's a more realistic solution than the one we hear a lot, which is cut the season from 82 games to 60 games or 40 games or whatever you hear. We get calls about that. That's a more realistic solution. You're not changing the inventory. Maybe you're messing with the commercial inventory, but the amount of games you're not changing. That's realistic. I'm still against it. Like, how many different things would that
I don't really get records.
And things would that start to throw
is
off?
Is the thought that, hey, if we do it this way, it'll be less minutes overall for these guys. So even the guys that play high-end minutes, so maybe they'll play more games. But then I don't think that's how it'll work.
That's probably what they're getting at, too.
But they still won't do that.
You're helping the management there of the players. What's the thing they call it in the NBA?
Load management.
Thank you, the load management.
Yeah.
You're helping that, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think that's the way they'd actually use it. Instead, you look at it and go, all right, well, now Tatum can still play his 37, 38 a night. Now he's basically playing the whole game. It's putting a lot of backups out of jobs, mm-hmm. potentially.
Grab bag.
So you remember Jonte Porter, the brother of Michael Porter, who got busted for like point shaving and sort of manipulating certain, getting involved with the betting.
Sure.
Right? Like Tony in Blue Chips. He was kind of messing about a little bit.
Thank you. That was exactly.
Now you were like, wait,
perfect reference. Yeah.
Well, there's a story now in the Wall Street Journal that is saying that Terry Rozier, old buddy Scary Terry, might have gotten himself wrapped up into that scandal as well.
Nice.
So, yeah. So everybody was always afraid after the Tim Donaghy stuff, like, all right, how many refs are involved? And now that it is legal in just about every single state, and some of these guys that don't make as much money as others, like, all right, how can you crack down on this? Are guys open to it? What do you do? But anyway, Rozier now one of the latest to be caught up in it.
Number one, maybe that helps explain Terry Rozier's Game 7 performance of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavs, 2-14, 0-10 from 3.
He had some tough road home splits.
Maybe it helps explain that. The other thing, Billy Lanny, were you telling me it was Jared Diamond is the reporter on this in the Wall Street Journal? That's a baseball guy. And so I wonder if this is the beginning of something across sports where there is we know Ohtani very prominently.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't do anything though.
No, it was just his fall guy running his bank accounts. So I wonder if this is the beginning, the tip of the iceberg on a baseball reporter getting an NBA scoop like this. That's curious to me. And I wonder if there's more to this beyond just Terry Rozier.
Grab bag.
So, John Morton, the pass game coordinator for the Denver Broncos.
The old NFL wide receiver, Johnny Morton?
No. John Morton.
John.
Not Johnny
Very
Morton.
Professional.
But he was with Denver, and he has been named the new offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, replacing Ben Johnson. I just assumed that they might promote from within. Tanner Engstrom was their pass game coordinator. Like, Ben Johnson was with the Lions for a couple of years before he was promoted to offensive coordinator. I thought they'd do the same thing, but they go and grab a guy from the Denver staff.
You're this guy getting passed over.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize we were supposed to give this Morton guy any credit for Bo mm-hmm. Nix in Denver. Maybe that was an oversight on my end. You're Engstrand. Do you stay in Detroit in the same role with a better team, or do you follow Ben Johnson to Chicago? If you're even allowed to do that, maybe it's a lateral move. I don't know, but I would get out of Detroit if I were this guy.
I would also get out of Detroit if I was him. And maybe Ben Johnson. So Ben Johnson's bringing in Dennis Allen for his D coordinator. Hasn't announced an offensive coordinator. But even though you're not calling plays, you weren't calling plays before.
I know he's brought in a bunch of guys from Detroit. Yeah. That I know. Like JT Barrett, their quarterback's coach, he's brought in. I think he's brought in guys on the defensive side, too. So he's brought a lot of guys over from Detroit. Maybe he'll
How much
this guy
of a fall off for the Lions next year? I would say significant.
Like out of the playoffs significant?
Maybe not that far,
but
like not winning the division.
Certainly not 15-2, and their offense takes a step back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah.
You can grab my back. Grab my back. My back. You can grab my back.
All right, here we go. Best NBA performer from last night. There was a bunch of games. We have five nominees, including a Celtic. We don't normally have a Celtic in the nominees, it feels like. But Kristaps Porzingis.
Big night.
34 points, 11 rebounds. Your guy Trey Murphy III, 32 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Kevin Durant, 33 points, 7 assists. Jalen Brunson, 30 points, 15 assists. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 52 points,
but
4 assists, a loss to the Warriors.
I think we said this the other day. I'm like, anytime somebody gets 50, do we have to make him the player of the night? He lost, though.
Yeah.
I'm going Brunson, I think. That was a good win.
30 and 15 for the Knicks. They beat the Nuggets at home.
Exactly. That's beating Denver. Like, yeah. I think I'd lean Brunson there, but big night for SGA.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Right, we are going with a left fielder, first baseman, played both positions over the course of his 17-year Major League career. Wow. He was a two-time All-Star. He finished third in the Rookie of the Year and was twice a top 22 MVP.
Okay, good to know.
Finisher. He would hit from the right side. He'd also throw it in from the right side.
Good.
If need be. He was a All-Star Game MVP.
What?
One of those years. Career high in dongs in a season. Just 26.
Lyle Overbay.
Oh, good one. That is a random player.
That guy's not popping a lot of home runs.
No, he's not.
Okay.
No, he's not. It's not Lyle Overbay. All right. He played for the Florida Marlins, the Baltimore Orioles, the Kansas City Royals, the Cincinnati Reds, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the New York Mets. Played far and away his most games with the Marlins and Orioles. Everybody else kind of sparingly.
What are the years?
He played his cup of coffee 1990.
Oh.
A little bit more established 92.
Jeff Conine.
He got it. The Red
Sox win. Nice.
Jeff Conine.
Nice player.
Really was.
Two top 22 MVP years?
Twice.
Wow.
Back-to-back years. Future or the limit for him. Also a two-time World Series winner. He was one of the few guys that was on both of those Marlins teams.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, I can't tell if the Twitch chat is taking credit for that they already had it. Text line guest Adam, I don't see it on the text line, so I don't know if the Twitch chat might have beat me to that one.
Phil Raruto?
No. It says Jones beat the Twitch chat. Nice.
Okay, those are Z's.
Jeff Conine. How about that?
Phil Raruto?
Raruto? Okay.
Billy Madison, you're trying to figure out who won. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. Not good. But good stuff. Okay. Random baseball player of the day.
That's how you play right there.
In the grab bag.
Good game, everybody.
On Jones and Keefe. If you're tuned in on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, you see us in our finest attire. It's WEEI Picture Day. WEEI Afternoons comes your way next. I want to check in with them, see how Picture Day went. We'll also get you our clip du jour next.
Jones and Keefe. Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
All right, time for clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, are you ready for that?
Oh, that sounds good. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, of course, here at WEEI, it is Team Picture Day. So all the shows getting some new shots. Although, sounds like the morning show was happy with their previous shots, so only Courtney was getting new photos.
She had her own.
Shime, too.
Oh, Shime,
too. Scrim got some?
Well,
he said he was very unhappy with his round face.
Well, in fairness, Shime has dropped some LBs since that. So that actually was a good move. But
Greg said he added LB, so he didn't want to get a new picture.
Correct. Also a good move by
Makes
Greg.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, Courtney had her own makeup artist here. I don't know if that's what we're going to hear as part of this, but yes.
I saw that. So I don't know if Hart and Ted and Fitzy had a makeup artist or not.
No.
Okay. But earlier in the show, as you can imagine, there's a lot of excitement in the air about these photos. So we were talking about pictures. So Billy's is behind a tree.
Oh, wait, let me stop real quick.
I didn't set that up right. So we also sent in old pictures of ourselves.
Yeah.
Classic, like, second grade, first grade team pictures. We put them up. You can find them at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram.
Very handsome.
And here's us describing them.
Yeah.
So Billy's is behind a tree.
I like that.
A school picture, though.
Was that a natural instinct, or was that where the camera people...
No, it wasn't. That was literally a photo, I think, in my grandmother's backyard.
I like that one. Terp's got a golf shirt on. That's probably first grade, you think?
Terp's parents absolutely dressed him for that.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. He's a young gun.
Jones has got the what appears to be a Georgia Tech sweatshirt and or mock turtleneck.
Like, I think it is like a
Georgia.
I think it's like a mock turtleneck. It's a Georgia Tech shirt. You can't quite see it, but it is a Georgia Tech shirt. Keith's right about
that's
that.
That's probably the
that's like a mock turtleneck.
That's probably the year that Lethal Weapon 3 was tearing up the ACC with Kenny Anderson.
Good point.
Dennis Scott and Brian Oliver.
That's gonna be my next question. There's gotta be somebody on that team that he loved that.
Yeah, I don't know why I wore that shirt. My parents didn't know it was picture day, is my guess, because that's what that looks like. Like Terp's parents had him ready. I'm guessing my parents had no idea it was picture day and sent me to school. in that. That's me. And then, Keith, you're wearing your Dream Team shirt.
That is a Dream Team cartoon caricature shirt. So you can see the face of Larry Bird there, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson. I got the Lasers background. The only year I had the Lasers background. So it's my favorite photo.
Uh-huh.
You can see my hair's kind of grown out, but I had the lines in the side of my head. Like I
knew it.
Vanilla Ice. I was the lines in the side of the
I
head.
I said it to Nick. I was like, I wonder if he's got tracks.
Wait.
I had lines.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that's a Keith body bagged all of us with the picture there.
It's
Lasers,
a nice shot,
Dream Team shirt, and the notches on the side. What did you call them? Tracks?
No, Billy called them tracks. I just call them lines. I think I just remember asking for lines.
That's
and they
nice.
Just, like, carve them in there. I should probably bring the lines back. Can't be worse than what I got going on now.
Well,
yeah.
I'd much prefer the lines on the side as opposed to the people that shoehorn like a pot in their hair. That drives me
oh,
nuts.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's not a natural part.
Right.
Oh, like a shaved one.
Yeah. Yeah, people that just like shoehorn it in there. Like, oh, this is where my pot is. Like,
did you? No. Am I making this up? You got your number on the back of your head, too?
I never did.
That wasn't you.
I think I wanted
that
to.
That might have been Arkin. Maybe it was Arkin.
I think kids, I remember a lot of kids did, but for some reason I didn't have that.
Huh.
Yeah.
We also, it was unearthed that lasers cost more. That's still
not
up for debate whether or not.
Not at my school.
The laser background cost more.
No, they did not.
Absolutely cost more. That's why I never got them.
No, they didn't.
That was an upcharge.
Is this just a thing parents
my
tell people?
My mom texted me. She's like, okay. She's like, I never would have gotten them the 1 year
your
if they cost
more.
Your
rich mom texted you.
I have a new theory. Maybe parents are telling their kids it costs more as a reason to not let their kids get the laser.
Bang. That's got to be it.
My parents would not let me get lasers.
Yeah.
I never heard this they cost more thing, but maybe that's what it is. It's a myth made up by parents to talk their kids out of getting the laser background.
Possible.
But how dumb were we? Didn't we have the little sheet in our hands that said, like, this package cost this? And
yeah, I didn't really follow through with that.
I never saw that. Yeah.
I definitely never had lasers. I got whatever the lowest level plain blue background.
How'd the photo shoot go down there?
It was good.
Anybody do, like, the Costanza?
I don't know what that means.
Shirt off on the couch.
Bear
skin
rug.
Yeah,
Fitzy had some ideas off. Like, I'll pretend I'm the center and I'll get down in front of you. I'm like, nope, that ain't happening. We're not doing that.
Come on, let me take a snap.
I can't imagine.
Maybe a shotgun snap.
I
no, I'm
the
center.
Internet, having a field
right,
day
exactly.
with that. Yeah, no, that's
I also
true.
Could have used the local TV stand-up news boxes.
Yeah.
You know those boxes, the wood boxes that guys
yeah.
use?
Yeah,
you know, Ted Johnson slightly.
Refer to boxes.
The Dale is what we call that.
We're aware of it. Slightly. Well, I didn't want to name the people who actually use them, so I just said the general, but I could have used that next to Ted.
You didn't want to try to pick up like a third and one against Ted? Just kind of like blow your head, get through there?
I mean, low man wins, so I get an advantage, right?
Not always. The low man does not always
not
win.
How that works anymore.
Tush-push formation.
So I know.
Oh, you guys should have done tush-push.
Yeah. So I know it's a Thursday. That means you're talking to Tommy Curran. Are there any other guests
any
on the program
guests?
Today? Any new guests?
We do actually have a new guest. Apparently our time slot fit a little more conveniently into his schedule. So
yeah,
Andrew Razor Raycroft will be joining us at 4:30.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Tom Curran at 3:30. We'll have some interesting topics with Razor. The Bruins are going to bounce back tonight, I'm sure.
He'll call them out with the best of them, that's for sure.
Talk about Chara joining the organization in an executive role and all those other things. We also will be doing my poll of the day.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't like the responses
to. Bury the lead. X-rated.
Who's your favorite Celtic right now?
I actually checked the results on this. I voted Jaylen.
Not enough people did because he is dead last.
There's a lot of Peyton Pritchard love on that thing.
There's also a lot of write-in love for why is Derek White not on the list.
Oh, that's... That's
well, who do I have to remove to put Derek White
Pritchard.
In? Well, Pritchard's pretty popular. He has like those whole line of shirts. And
everything. I might go Drew Holiday.
See, everybody's popular maybe. Maybe that's the breakdown. We love all these guys.
Well, except Jaylen.
Jaylen not overly popular right now, which is weird because I think people have forgotten maybe like the MVP trophies he puts under each arm for the banner you look up at and supposedly everybody cares a lot about.
Just Tatum voting over and over and over again.
come on,
Jaylen.
Come on.
Yeah. That's what it was.
So we'll get into that. The Celtics' performance last night, the bloodbath that Scal predicted came true, and Porzingis is rolling, and he's my new favorite Celtic.
Okay. How about that?
Wow.
I feel like we
learned something.
You spoiled the whole take there.
We can continue. Every 15 minutes resets.
But stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. Hart, Fitzy, Ted, Curran, Razor. That's the crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. It's here. The prime rib dinner, back at the 9, 16 ounces, slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib, served with your choice of two sides. It's available every Friday after 4 and all day Saturday and Sunday. You gotta love the 9. Stay tuned, WEEI Afternoons. They got you covered. We're back tomorrow at 10 here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.